Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family. But I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about...
Freedom!
Your freedom, no excuses, on the Freedom Report Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report Podcast. I'm your host, Leif Beaverson. Sitting here today, Friday, it's the 23rd of January, and we're going to be talking today about Obama's, quote, free college plans. From the man who brought you free healthcare comes free college. Right? Right? No. So, before we get the show started, let me just give a little plug here. If you enjoy the show today, please subscribe. You can find the Freedom Report podcast on iTunes. You can also find me on Stitcher. Just go and search the Freedom Report on iTunes. And if you really like the show, do me a flavor, Flav, and give me a 5-star review. Write out something nice about the show, what you like about it. A nice review will help me to spread the message of liberty even further. If you got to see my appearance on John Stossel this last week, then you probably heard me give a few little quick quotes about what I think about Obama's proposed community college plan that he gave in his State of the Union. And what's interesting about what the president said in the State of the Union isn't interesting because of what he said, but what he left out. There's two major portions to what Obama is proposing for colleges, and it's not just the free college. He's also talking about rolling back a tax break on college savings accounts that parents use in order to save for their future kids' college. Now, critics of limited government and free markets and of people who want to raise taxes, they're all defending this by saying, well, it's rich people who are taking this as well. And we're going to debunk some of those liberal myths today, and we're going to talk about the free college, what that means, what the free college plan would be, and we're going to be talking about these tax savings account. Now, I've got quite a bit of information for you today, and what I thought was fantastic was I didn't have to go to Fox News to find an article that was debunking the college plans that Obama pushed in the State of the Union. And again, not to blow the whole, secret here or anything, ladies and gentlemen, but, the president just lost an election, or at least the president's party lost an election in the last cycle, and they sure as hell ain't acting like it. And the funny part is he has all these schemes and plans, but ladies and gentlemen, he can't do this. He can't do it. He can't pass this. He can't pass anything. He's going to be a lame duck president, and there's no way that the Republicans are going to give him what he wants. And kudos to that. And cheers, three cheers for divided government. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah for divided government, because it's the divided government that's going to keep us freer and safer in the next 2 years, I'm afraid. All right, so why don't we start it off? Let me just give you a little bit of background here. The plan is, the politicians, like Obama, they're like, they pretend that the free college idea is going to help students, right? It's all about the students and the graduates. It's not. You know who this helps? It helps the colleges themselves. It's not a giveaway to students. It's a giveaway to the colleges. Listen, if you really want to help students, give them money for books. I mean, you know why? Because the books cost more than the classes. The books cost more than the classes, which to me, it's not obvious when people are analyzing this that they think that this is all about helping the poor people and stuff like that. It's not. It's about giving a giveaway to colleges. Now listen to this. In California, they have a free community college plan, and they have 470,000 students on waiting lists who can't even get in. Now, even though they can't address all of the demand that they have, the schools still raise tuition, right? And they blame the problem on budget cuts, right? Now think about it like this. Money isn't the problem. Money isn't the issue that stops people from educating themselves. A lot of times it's because they have other priorities. And 60% of the people who enroll in community college drop out. I mean, I went to a university, a four-year university in Missouri. I went to Missouri State University, and that was a standard four-year, you know, university degree, a BFA that I received. And I remember in my freshman year, they said, take a look to your left, take a look to your right, and in, you know, 3 years, the people next to you are not going to be there. Because the dropout rates are so high. A lot of people go to college and then they don't finish. So why are we being asked to subsidize something for which there's such a high rate of failure? So think about that for a second. And, you know, again, it's not to sound selfish, but, you know, why is it selfish for me that I have to keep my own money, that I want to keep my own money, but it's not selfish when somebody wants to take something from me? You know, that's what really tees me off, is that it's somehow selfish for me to want to keep my own money that I earned. But if you want to take my money to go to college, well then, oh gosh, you're not being selfish. You're just helping yourself. It's just Orwellian, the way that we have structured, the politics has structured our dialogue today. Do you get what I'm saying there? So internalize that, because you're going to want to use that in the future. I don't know why it's selfish to keep my own money, but it's not selfish for you to want to take my money, right? Save that one for your debates with liberals later. So let's analyze some of Obama's proposed changes to the university system. He wants to give people free community college, but he also wants to raise taxes on people who are saving for their kids' colleges by taxing 529 college saving plans. Now, I'm going to pull this straight from the New York Times. Listen to this. President Obama proposing radical change to the 529 college savings plans held by millions of families, which would require those who use them to rethink their approach to college savings. As part of his plan to simplify the tax code and help the middle class, one of the 5-2 plan's most attractive benefits would be eliminated. Money could no longer be withdrawn tax-free, The new rules would apply only to new contributions. The accounts, many of which are run by the states, allow people to make contributions that grow tax-free. The money can be withdrawn without the paying of capital gains taxes, as long as the proceeds are used for education expenses. Many states provide state income tax deductions for contributions as well. Joe Hurley, founder of the Saving for College website, said he was surprised by the proposal in many ways because it's anti-middle class for families trying to afford college. And so much of the emphasis in the Obama administration has been pro-middle class. That's what they say, right? But some experts, who the hell are they, said 529 plans, which are used by 7 million families and hold $217 billion, disproportionately benefit the most affluent families, which can afford to save. More than 12 million accounts are in circulation. And if more affluent families can afford to start saving early and often, the compounding over time enables them to avoid paying more taxes, especially those in higher tax brackets. Sandy Baum, a senior fellow at the Urban Institute, says they primarily provide a subsidy to people who would save in other forms anyway. But that's not true. And I know this because I did some research and I looked at Forbes and I found this article, and we're going to get to the grand fromage here in just a few minutes from CNN, of all places. But Forbes, an author from Forbes magazine, says that the GAO, there was a government accountability office that was studied the income of 529 holders, right, in order for them to sort of back it up, say, oh, this disproportionately helps the wealthy. This guy's responding to the idea that the 529 holders were a bunch of mass affluent people. The left is sort of, he's saying that the left is falling into the trap that the right usually falls for, namely, which is answering an emotional objection with a quantitative answer. It's as if a question was asked in French and answered in German. Normally, it's conservatives who try to throw data at a values-based argument, but in this case, the shoe is on the other foot. So listen to this. Obama wants to tax college savers, but by and large, they're wealthy college savers. When the Government Accountability Office looked at 529 plans and their less popular cousins, it found that 47% of families that had them earned more than $150,000 a year. That puts them in at least the top 10% of U.S. households. By comparison, it noted the median income of families with a student in college is $47,747. I don't know about you, but I generally think that our higher education policy should be geared toward helping families that earned $150,000 or more send their kid to the most expensive. He doesn't think that it should be used to send kids to an expensive school. Meanwhile, the White House says revenue brought in from tax and gains in 529 plans would go towards expanding other higher education tax breaks, such as the American Opportunity Tax Credit, which is available to families earning up to $180,000. So it seems like the middle class makes out just fine in this deal. That's what the liberals are arguing. But, you know, it's interesting that he says that, because here I have this article on CNN. What a fantastic piece this was by Michael Horn. And let's see if we can't debunk some of the liberal BS that we just heard. Michael Horn says, in his State of the Union address, President Obama proposed making community college tuition free for 2 years, and unfortunately, his plan doesn't make the grade. The proposal would not only pile up more debt by further subsidizing runaway college costs, it would also perilously undercut the emergence of more innovative educational programs designed to help students succeed in the workforce. Offering only a lukewarm pathway to the job market, community colleges are incapable of fulfilling the president's lofty ambitions. Although there are some high-performing community colleges and stellar stories of success for certain students, the overall picture of success at two-year community colleges is dismal. Now, listen to this. We'll get to the 529 plans in a moment. According to the Community College Research Center at Teachers College, Columbia University, only 22% of students graduate within 3 years. Ooh, and 28% graduate within four. More telling, 80% of students say that they want a bachelor's degree or higher, and yet only 20% of those students transfer to a four-year institution within 5 years. Even those who earn a community college degree, it isn't as useful as other options. Thanks to credential inflation, pursuing a professional certification, which more clearly indicates a person's skills rather than degree, often pays off better, according to Census Bureau data. The conversation around making community colleges free also masks a larger problem, which is that community colleges are already heavily subsidized and far less affordable than commonly believed. At $3,300, community college tuition is well under the $5,730 currently available in Pell Grant aid to low-income students. But the expenditure per student at community college, the true cost of education, is far higher, about four times more at $13,000 per student. That means that 60% of the cost of community college isn't paid for through tuition, but through various forms of government aid at the federal, state, and local levels. As a result, even if the president's plan passed, it wouldn't help the large number of already overcrowded community colleges that have waiting lists numbering in the thousands. Tuition is only a small part of the funding needed to educate additional students. What's more, because limited productivity gains possible in the community college model, those costs will continue to rise, which means that tuition will too. The proposal's $60 billion price over 10 years is likely to grow, with only a questionable return on investment. The larger question it misses is not how to allow students to afford college, but how to make college more affordable. That's a huge distinction. The focus should be made to make post-secondary education less costly and of better quality, such that the question of how to afford it becomes manageable. The president's proposal merely charges education in the form of debt for future generations of taxpayers rather than changes it. Instead, we need to encourage students to seek innovative offerings that are lower cost and improve the quality and accessibility of higher education. Such options are emerging. Patton University offers a new online competency-based program that charges undergraduate tuition $350 per month, or $1,316 per term, $1,300 a term. Tuition includes access to as many courses as one can complete and all the ebooks and course materials needed, and Patton receives no government funding. Another online competency-based program, Southern New Hampshire's College for America, charges annual tuition of $2,500. Rather than supporting innovative options like Patton and Southern New Hampshire, the president's plan would nudge students toward a community college sector that is incapable of repositioning its model around student success and fuel rising costs. If enacted, the president's proposal would be unlikely to achieve its ultimate aims and would exacerbate a larger problem lurking behind college financing, although the plan amounts to little more than political posturing given the current congressional makeup. Exactly. It will negatively influence the political conversation around higher education in the years ahead. By supporting free community college, President Obama is merely kicking the can down the road for future generations to confront. We need a better strategy for skills training overall before we go further down the track of subsidizing students to attend community college only to emerge with little to show for it. Well said. Well said. Well said. So anyways, let's continue with what we were talking about, the 529 accounts. The New York Times article, or excuse me, there was the article that was talking about how the wealthy are the ones who are going to disproportionately be impacted. They're the ones who are going to get off easy if we get rid of the 529 tax exemption. So listen to this. They were saying, oh, well, it's wealthy. Well, listen to this. They're saying that Arthur Brooks, from the American Enterprise Institute wrote a book about this. And he looked at the GAO study that shows that 30% of households that own a 529 plan earn less than $100,000 per year. Cross-posting with the other 529 data, that means about 3.5 million 529 accounts will see tax increases, even though those account owners make five-figure incomes. People don't care that a wealthy person might also own a 529 plan. People care that they own a 529 plan and that Obama is seeking to tax it out of practical existence. It's an attack on their values, an attack on their version of the American dream, an attack on their own personal aspirations as parents. That's the point, is that why would you care if a wealthy person is also getting a tax break if you are a middle class or a poor person trying to save for your own child's college? You don't care as long as you get it too, right? Unless we really do have class envy in this country. And I think we do sort of have a strange amount of class envy in this country, which makes no sense. It makes no sense because if you think about it, why do you care what somebody else has as long as you have it good too? You know, like, why is it such a problem if somebody else has more for you, more than you? Remember, rising tides lift all boats. If everybody's doing well, some people may be doing better than others, but we're all doing well overall. And, you know, there's an argument to be made there that wealth inequality is not the problem. The gap between the rich and the poor is not the problem. It only is a problem if you don't have equal opportunity, right? So, and what you, government doesn't create equal opportunity in the marketplace. Government can't make things fair. They can't make things equal in the marketplace because we all don't all have equal skills and talents, and we don't all have equal skills. I mean, that's the thing, is I can't go play basketball in the NFL right now because I just don't have those skills or qualifications or experience. But should the government give me equal opportunity to go out there and try for the basketball team or institute a quota to give me a shot at the NFL? No. And so anyways, this is what the problem is it with college. Yes, you know, we need opportunities to be able to go to school, but the government isn't helping when they subsidize schools, because when they subsidize schools in such a way to try and, you know, give more students tuition, the schools just go turn around and they raise the rates. So I wonder what you guys think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and cut it off now. Think about the fact that ain't nothing in life for free. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of the podcast? Do me a favor, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Amazon, but you can find us on Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com. Leave us a good review. Write to me. Tell me what you think of the show. And don't forget to subscribe. Go to Become Every Single Day. To the LibertarianRepublic.com, your home for economic freedom and personal liberty.